Hello everyone and welcome to the show, and today we've got Ray Hernandez. How you going, Ray?
Hey, excellent, Pete. How about yourself?
Yeah, good. Thanks for being on the show. Now, just so the viewers know, we might have a bit of difficulty here and there, but I've just changed computers and connections. We just tried to do it before, but there was a bit of trouble, so just hold on and we'll do our best here. Now, Ray, you've one of the co-founders of FREE, which is the Foundation for the Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters, which I'm also a part of. But what we'll do first is we'll go into a bit of your background, who you are, and how you've come into this position to do what you're doing now, which is fantastic, because you've got people like Mary Rodwell, yourself, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, myself, a lot of people around the world that are involved in this project, but we'll go a bit more into that a bit later. So tell myself and the audience just a bit about yourself, Ray.
Okay, great. Just an introduction later on. The organization, as you mentioned, Mary came up with the name. It's the Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters, otherwise known as FREE. And our website, which just launched 3 weeks ago, is experiencer.co, not com, but co. So it's experiencer.co. And we're just got off the ground like 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
And let me tell you very briefly about myself. I'm one of the co-founders together with my lovely dear friend and your dear friend, Mary Rodwell, and Christina Knowles, mm-hmm. who's an experiencer that lives in the U.S. She's lives in Boston now. Mm-hmm. And I would like to be able to take the opportunity before I get into FREE to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a recent experiencer. My first experience started in March of 2012. Previous to that, I was an atheist, rationalist, materialist. I had never investigated anything associated with paranormal, UFOs, near-death experiences, ETs, nothing of that sort. To me, it was all bullshit, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I had no concept of it. In terms of my background, I came from a working class background. Both of my parents were factory workers earning minimum wage in the state of New Jersey, right across the Hudson River from New York City. It was a rough neighborhood. I never studied as a kid. I naturally tested well. So I was basically like a little hoodlum out in the streets until I got admitted into college. And then that was when I first started to actually work for the first time in my life in academically. I had always worked since I was a little kid, you know, selling newspapers, you know, 11 years old out in the streets, hustling, trying to make some money. Because my father, when I want to, you know, can you give me a basketball? He said, the hell with it, man. Go out and work, you know. So with everything, you know, I always had a hustle for my father was, you know, a very difficult individual because he himself grew up in a very, very very rough neighborhood in Cuba. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I was raised, you know. What had happened was I did very well in college, pretty much a straight 4.0, you know, pure A's the last 3 years of college. I then went to work for the University of California, Berkeley, which is a prestigious school in California. And then I got admitted into Cornell University for a master's program. I did very, very well there as well. Then I got a National Science Foundation PhD fellowship, which basically provided for 4 years tuition at any university in the United States and with a very nice, healthy stipend. So I went to Berkeley for a PhD in city and regional planning. I then passed all of my exams, all of my coursework, and then I was doing my writing my dissertation at this university in Manhattan called the New School for Social Research. And at that point, my ex-wife got a brain aneurysm, which I couldn't finish doing my dissertation because we had two little babies. I had financial obligations. And then I eventually went on and got a law degree at the City University of New York, where I was working for many years in New York City. And so fast forward, for the last 15 years, I've been working for the IRS as an estate tax attorney, which is for those outside the U.S., the IRS is the Internal Revenue Service, which is the taxing agency. And what I deal with is an inheritance tax. that multimillionaires have to pay. Actually, the heirs, the beneficiaries have to pay. So it's a boring job, you know, but it pays the bills.
So you work for one of those people that everyone goes, oh, the bloody IRS, you work for those dudes.
Whenever I mention I work for the IRS, people are like, you know, get the hell away, you know?
Yeah.
But I tell them, no. Yeah, I only audit the multimillionaires. And they say, okay, that's not me. You know?
We can deal with that.
And yeah. So that's been, you know, the story of my life, a very boring life. I was an agnostic at best, you know, no spiritual background whatsoever. And I was just leading my life, you know, a pretty boring life, you know.
So how did all this change? What happened to where, you know, made into fruition what's happening now for you? What was the pinnacle point? What was the turning point?
It all started 2.5 years ago in March of 2012. March of 2012, we had a 17-year-old dog, a Jack Russell Terrier. Its name is Nena, which in Spanish means little girl. And she actually was our first little girl. We treated her just like our child. She was very, very old at that point, in March of 2012, a very lethargic. We had talked about euthanizing her, you know, because she was barely able to move around. And then what happened, a Saturday evening, she got a stroke. She basically became paralyzed from the neck down. And so at that point, we knew we had a euthanizer. Mm. So instead of bringing her to one of these emergency hospitals that charge you, you know, $1,000, $1,000 to, you know, to deal with her and put her to sleep and all that, I said, okay, she didn't appear, you know, stressed out or in pain or anything. Let's wait till Monday. We didn't get to Monday. On Sunday morning, the next morning, my wife woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning. She picked up our dog. She was still totally paralyzed. She moved around, pushed her on the floor. She didn't move at all, except from the neck up. So my wife carried her down the stairs to do pee, right? And so when she got down the stairs, what she saw in our living room, inside our living room, roughly 4 feet off the ground, 1 foot from our living room wall, was an object that was metallic in shape, roughly 2 feet wide, 3 feet in height, and looked like an upside down U. Okay, upside down U. Okay, with two green lights in the middle. When she saw that, she's a hardcore Catholic, Mexican Catholic. She knelt down and started praying. She said, if you are a bad spirit, get the hell out. But if you are a good spirit or an angel or the Virgin Mary, stay, but don't let my dog suffer. Please, that's the only thing I ask, you know? Then all of a sudden, when she was thinking that, these two green lights shot out and started scanning her and the dog. At that point, she freaked out and she started calling me. Ray! You know, and I totally ignored her. It was Sunday morning, 6 o'clock. I didn't sleep well the night before. And I thought she saw a little cockroach or something like that, you know. And I totally ignored her. So she was screaming at the top of her lungs. After like 10 minutes, she went up there and hauled my ass down, you know. And she didn't tell me what it was, and I was pissed off. You know, I was like, you know, this shit better be good, you know. So when I got downstairs, I didn't see what she saw. It's tunnel vision. I was just looking at this particular object. I didn't see to the right or to the left. I didn't see my wife. I didn't see the dog. It was just this object. And it wasn't the object that she saw, that she described to me later on. What I saw was a floating plasma object. I think...
Now, even though you saw that, is it – she was there with you at the time. that's exactly what you saw, which is just trippy. But what I'm wondering was, when you were looking at it, was she there with you at the time?
Was it what, Peter?
Was she with you at the time when you're looking at this, when you've gone downstairs?
My wife?
Yeah.
As I said, I have no idea, Pete.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
She never saw that object.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm just wondering if you were both there and you're...
No, I don't think so. I don't think so because she doesn't recall seeing that object. She after I got down to the bottom of the stairs, she has no memory gap.
Until
I returned back 15 minutes later.
Trippy.
So she was like gone, you know?
Yeah, that's trippy.
Okay. So what happened was... I saw this wavy thing, you know? Multicolored, translucent, full of all these colors inside, like energy. It was a plasma energy. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I did something that for a long time I could not rationalize why I did this. But basically, I squinted at it. I looked at it, and I went, ah, bullshit. Then I proceeded walking up the stairs to my bed. I lied on my bed. I put my hands on my chest, and I looked straight up at the ceiling with my eyes wide open. I was awake, mm-hmm. wide open, okay, like for 15 minutes, okay? I don't remember having any conscious thought during that time period. It was like I was hypnotized, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
15 minutes later, it was like all of a sudden, you know, the hypnotist said, okay, kid, we finished with your wife and the dog. Wake up. And I was like, holy fucking shit. What the hell just happened? Yeah. And I ran downstairs, you know? And then when I got downstairs, my wife was like, you know, just cured her. They just cured her. And the dog was running around all over the floor, back and forth, and jumping. And my wife was like, yeah, yeah. They just cured it. They just cured it. You know, all in Spanish, right? And to me, I was like, what the fuck just happened? You know? I said, you know, what? You know, I was blown away, you know?
Yeah.
Then I told my wife, I said, what the hell just happened? You know? She says, you saw it with your own two eyes. It was the angels. They came down. They came down and they cured my nanita. They answered my prayers, you know? And to me, I was blown away, you know, because here I was, you know, never even knew about ETs, UFOs, or paranormal stuff, any of this stuff, you know. I was a pure, basically, I was a university professor in my mind, you know. I was geared to think that way, a rationalist, you know, all these years of education, you know.
Yeah. And so from that point, what happened from there, like in terms of, how did you deal with that? Like, did you just sort of blow it off until another experience happened?
No, I didn't blow it off. Yeah. I went fucking berserk.
Yeah.
I went crazy, okay? The only way I could think of doing, which is going to the internet, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I immediately typed in, for the first time in my life, UFOs, you know? Yeah. Aliens, you know? Yeah. ETs, you know? Paranormal, you know? And all it did was just confuse me even more. You know, they're demons, they're gods. You know, they're this, they're that. They're Anunnakis, they're Nephilim, they're, you know, oh, Atlantis. Maybe they're from Atlantis. And I'm like, you know, what the fuck is going on? No one can give me any straight fucking answers, you know? And so, but in the meantime, for the next 6 months, my wife started seeing these crafts, okay? And I had told you earlier about, I won't go into the details, but basically at night, she would wake up at 3:30 at night. The dog, instead of going through the back door, you know, would be barking up the front door. And my wife, without thinking, you know, open up the front door. We live in a cul-de-sac, right? And boom, you know, she hears this noise like a 747 jet for like a minute or two, rough purr, a ding, noise. And after that noise dissipated, this huge craft was right in front of her, okay, with beautiful color, stained glass windows color, she described it. In Spanish, she said to me the day afterwards, she says, and I'll translate, she says, oh, the angels come and visited me. They came and visited me last night. They came aboard a craft that was so angelic. It had colors just like the stained glass windows of our church. You know, they paid me a visit, my angels, you know. And I said, describe it. And she described it, you know, how huge it was, you know, that it was like two blocks away. But yet it was like from one side of the periphery of the vision to another side. So it was huge, you know. And then I was like, you know, do I fucking believe her or do I don't? But I got to believe her because I saw this shit with my eyes, you know, like a couple of months beforehand, you know. And so, you know, my wife doesn't just come out and tell stories like that. Because my wife has never been into any of this stuff. She also doesn't use the internet. Mm. You know, I was the one that showed her how to use the internet. You know, she doesn't go to the internet. She doesn't read these books. Totally out of this stuff. We don't even have TV, Pete. Okay, on purpose we took out TV. Okay, so then she started seeing these crafts. One time in Mexico with her family and her entire family, they saw a huge gigantic UFO that my wife called. You know, twice she called and they saw it. You know. So I won't go into those details. So basically, now let's jumpstart now to August of 2012. And I'll jump over a lot of the specifics. Basically, what had happened was that I was waiting for a friend to come by and give me some papers. It was at night, 9 o'clock at night. A totally cloudy sky, not a star in the sky. And I was waiting outside because my friend said he was, you know, very close by. So he was just going to give me paper and bye-bye, you know. And so while I was out there, I started thinking of that huge craft that my wife had seen, okay? And I said, wow, that shit was big, you know, because I'm never outside at night, you know, in the front. I'm always in the backyard, you know. And then what popped into my head was this guy, Prophet Yahweh, this black guy, I'll say maybe 50 years old or so, that he would speak in Hebrew and call down these crafts in the middle of the day. And he had his own little digital video camera. And during the day, he would record a little speck of dust, you know, flying in the sky, you know. And that popped into my head. So I said, fuck it, let me try it, you know. Oh, I want to see you, the beautiful angelic craft that my wife saw, the stained glass colored windows. My wife had an opportunity to see you, you know. I never saw you. I just saw an entity inside my house, but I want to be able to interact with you like you interact with my wife. I want to see the beautiful craft, you know. Then I would turn around, you know, nothing. I said, fuck it. They didn't get it this time. Next time they'll get it. Oh, I want to see you, the beautiful craft. You know, I did that for 15 minutes, right? After 15 minutes, I was like, I'm fucking going crazy. I'm really losing it, you know? I've hit the point where I've gone over the edge, you know? Then all of a sudden, on top of my neighbor's house, 5 feet from the roof of my neighbor's house, appeared the biggest UFO craft that anyone has ever seen. Okay, it was like 3 football fields in size and in height. It was like a football stadium, half of a football stadium. Okay, what's the biggest football stadium out there in Melbourne? Okay,
oh yeah, you got the MCG. It's a pretty darn big one.
Okay, picture something like that. Okay, right on top of your next door neighbor's house, where the palm trees that were blocking the bottom part of this craft.
Yeah.
Okay. And what it was translucent, so you could see through it, part of it, okay? You could see the clouds in the background. And what it was composed was thousands and thousands and thousands of oblong light streaks, white streaks of light that formed the whole shell of the craft, okay? And it was sort of at an angle. Maybe I can show you the angle. The angle was like this,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay? So you really couldn't tell, you know, how long it was. But I could tell back here we have these huge trees towards the back part. That's like 2 blocks long, Pete. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So I knew this sucker was at least 2 blocks long. The width was at least like two of these ranch-style houses.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very long. And height, it was, my goodness, like 200 feet in height. Okay? And then immediately what popped into my head was my daughter's voice. I heard my daughter's voice inside my head. Daddy, you and mommy have seen UFOs, okay? Next time you guys see a UFO, you call me because I want to see them just like you and mom, okay? And I was like in my head, oh, my God, I got to go tell my daughter. Now, my daughter had just turned 10 years old, and any rational thinking parent, that would be the last thing that you would want to do was to put your recently turned 10-year-old daughter into a situation where she's seeing a huge, enormous UFO craft, okay? But I wasn't thinking that way. Immediately, I went to my house, which is like 10 feet away. I yelled outside my door, because remember, I'm in a cul-de-sac, okay? Semi-circle. Shkaret! Shkaret! Open up the window. What is it, Daddy? There's a UFO out here! There's a UFO out here! Get out here! And in 5 seconds, she's out there. So now she and I are watching this huge, gigantic craft that I could almost spit at. Certainly, if I had a little pebble, I could hit it, you know? Yeah. That's how close it was. Because I was maybe 20 feet from my neighbor's house, you know, which is sort of like yards would be maybe 10 yards, okay? Meters, 10 meters, okay? 10 to 20 meters from my neighbor's house. So then his is a ranch-style house, so the craft was right above that. So this thing was like real close, you know? And so we were getting neck strains in the back of the neck because we were like facing the whole time up like that, you know? It was huge. And so my daughter goes to me, Daddy, what is that? I said, it's a UFO, sweetheart, and it's in hiding because it doesn't want to be, you know? I didn't say the word cloaked because you might not know what it was, you know? And then we were just looking at it. We weren't scared. We were being entertained by these streaks of light. About 15 minutes later, my friend comes, not by himself, but with his wife and his 17-year-old daughter. Okay, so then they immediately leave the car parked right in the middle of the cul-de-sac. They both run out, And they're the three of them now, and myself and my daughter, we got five people now looking at this huge craft, you know. So they come to me and they go, "What is that?" I said, "You know what the hell it is." You know, in Spanish, I said, "Es un omni." It's an omni. It's a UFO, right? No, it can't be. Okay. He's Mexican, hardcore Catholic. She's from Colombia, hardcore Catholic. Both of them are college graduates. Okay. That's they just like me before. They never even popped into your head, you know, that this thing could exist, you know. And at that point, I had never told anybody, you know, my wife neither, except her family members. So they were coming, trying to come up with explanation after explanation. Okay. It's circus lights, you know. Oh, it's the headlights off the street behind us that are bouncing off the clouds. It's atmospheric conditions, you know. Like, you know?
Yeah. Coming up with whatever they can, yeah.
Yeah, you know, because you're just being blown away, you know. Now, they weren't scared, you know. It was they were watching this light show. And so then in my head, a thought popped into my head. Like I said to these ETs, like, man, they don't believe you, man. They don't believe you, brothers. You know, they don't believe you, you know. And I actually thought that, Pete, you know, in my head, you know. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the light patterns changed. These thousands of oblong streets completely stopped. What replaced it was thousands and thousands of stars that were 10 times the size of Venus. Okay? They weren't the size of the moon, you know, but they were, yeah like 10 to 20 or 30 times the size of Venus, very large, that were blinking like this on and off, like three or four times in a fraction of a second. And it was all throughout the ship. Okay?
That's trippy.
Now, beyond the shadow of a doubt, you knew what the, you know, yeah. What the hell is she? Okay. No doubt. Okay. Then all of a sudden they stopped. Oh, it's atmospheric conditions. It was the, you know, they knew what it was now, you know? And then everybody, including the teenager, the 17-year-old, my daughter, his wife, especially his wife, you know, "Oh my God, look over there. Because it would change intensities to stars. It would be grouped in a certain quadrant area. It would be, even though you saw it among the whole craft, it would be concentrated in certain areas, you know? And they would like flicker special where they concentrated, you know? And so we would be putting on for us, right? After 10 minutes of watching these stars now, my friend said, "We got to go. We got things to do." Okay? Now, in hindsight, you say to yourself, here are these people watching a once-in-a-lifetime experience, an experience that no one has seen, because I've asked Mary. I've asked Barbara Lamb, who's been working with experiences for 40 years, you know, Whitley Strieber, okay? All these folks in our group, you know all the big names in our group. Mm. Have they ever encountered someone that has seen this huge, gigantic craft for at least 45 minutes, like myself and my daughter had seen this? Also witnessed by five people, they said never. They have never had anyone be so up close to a craft, you know, for such a long time, okay? So in my head, it was like, you know, all of a sudden these people got to go because they got things to do. That doesn't make sense. And in my head, I didn't even question them going. It was like, "Oh, don't worry about that paper. I'll take care of that paper. I'll talk to you tomorrow. All right. Take care. You know, see you tomorrow. Bye." You know, it didn't even enter my thought, you know. And that'll give you another example of how the mind is partially controlled by these entities. Okay. They left, and so my daughter and I were watching this star show for like another 15 minutes. Altogether, myself and my daughter were watching this total about 45 minutes. And again, we weren't scared. You know, it was like, do they have fireworks when they have your Independence Day in Australia?
Yeah, we call it Australia Day, I think we've got here, and then we've got New Year's, and yeah, the fireworks just go bloody ballistic wherever okay. You are that time of year, yeah. Well,
yeah, in the U.S., the same thing. We got the 4th of July, okay, with fireworks all over the place. So that was the mood. That was the environment. All I needed was a lounge chair, a six-pack of old Coronas, you know. So all of a sudden, I was wearing shorts, and I felt like I was being attacked by mosquitoes. I was slapping my legs all over the place. And then after like 1 minute of being tortured by these mosquitoes, I told my daughter, "Come on, Shkaret, let's go inside. These mosquitoes are killing me." Meanwhile, that light show was still going on.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
So I went inside. About a minute or two later, after we got inside, my daughter goes to me, "Daddy, there were no mosquitoes outside." And all of a sudden, like, remember the hypnotist when I was in my bed? The hypnotist said, "Okay, kid, wake up." Same shit. "Okay, kid, wake up." And I was like, holy shit, what the fuck just happened, you know? And I ran, I grabbed my video camera, my camera, I ran outside, nothing, it was gone, okay? Jeez. Now, this craft was silent, you know, only was light, you know? As a matter of fact, during that time period, the occupant of that house, his name is Pablo, flicked on the light, okay, with his wife. And they saw these five people looking right up at their house, you know, and they started staring at us for like a minute, like, you know, what the hell is going on? And rashly thinking, you go over to Pablo, knock on his door, say, Pablo, get your ass out, man. Look what's right above you, you know. So, you know, everyone had cell phones, especially the teenagers. The teenagers never leave those cell phones, you know. Mm-hmm. Text messaging, always each other, right? Nothing. Nobody took out a camera or anything like that. So, but the interesting part of that, of what took place was not us seeing that craft or me seeing that craft, was what happened afterwards, Pete. Okay. Like I told you before, I was on the internet 6 or 7 hours a day, just going crazy, trying to find out what was going on. I stopped that cold turkey. It's like people quit smoking cigarettes. All of a sudden they go cold turkey. Yeah. I stopped going to the internet, cold turkey. I've been reading all these UFO books. I stopped that cold turkey. I still have a couple of Stan Friedman's books there unread. Okay. What I did was all of a sudden, I don't know why, was to start ordering tons of books on near-death experiences and consciousness studies. Mm-hmm. Consciousness studies from the scientific study of consciousness, mm-hmm. quantum physics, telepathy, you know, from the science aspects of it. But the majority were near-death experiences. And it was crazy. Like I was a heroin addict. Okay. It was 12 hours a day minimum. On the weekend, it was 18 hours a day. I would order 10 books from Amazon. When there were two left, I would order 10 more. There were two left, 10 more. Two left, 10 more. I must have read over 300 books on near-death experiences, both in ebook and in regular hard book. If you see in the back,
yeah, you back can there. See a heap of books there, yeah.
Okay. Those are all recent books in the last year and a half, okay? The top shelf is all books on the contactee experiences, individuals that have had contacts. That bottom shelf is near-death experiences. The shelf underneath is consciousness studies. Underneath that is quantum physics, okay? Crazy, Pete. That's the last shit on my mind, these stuff. So anyway, here I was like a maniac. My wife thought I was going nuts, you know? But yet she understood me because she's an experiencer herself, okay? I would wake up in the morning at 7 o'clock in the morning with a book, always, because I would fall asleep at 4 o'clock in the morning reading these books, okay? That went on for 4 months. I became an expert in near-death experiences and consciousness studies. You name the book, I've read it. I'll tell you everything that's in there, okay? Then 4 months later, in December of 2012, meantime, I had never spoken with anybody about NDEs mm-hmm. or about my experiences, okay? Never. Only my wife knew about it, okay? All of a sudden, the very first person I ever talked to about near-death experiences was my daughter's pediatrician. This is late December of 2012, okay? And I'm going to say something to you that you can understand and other experiencers, but others won't, okay? Out of my mouth was coming something. I said something, but in my head, I was like, why in the fuck are you saying this shit, you know? All right? What came out of my mouth was me saying this to this pediatrician who I never met before. My wife is the one that I always brought her to the pediatrician, okay? And it was this. She's 40 years old. She's from Venezuela. Total stranger to me, okay? My daughter had a fever for 2 nights straight. Excuse me, doctor. Have you ever heard of near-death experiences? I've just finished reading approximately 300 books on this topic. Out of those 300 books, I would estimate that maybe 75 were written by medical doctors. Out of those 75 books, I would say 20 to 25 were written by professors in medical school, all doctors. So as a physician, you ought to be acquainted with this research and that it's been scientifically studied for approximately 40 years and it's a valid phenomenon. Okay. So in my head, it was like, why in the fuck are you saying this shit? Stop, you know, stop, you know? It's like, and her eyeballs pop out, you know? And all of a sudden, holy shit, now you offended the shit out of this woman. You know, you don't even know her. You know, your daughter's got a fever for 2 days. And like, you know, All of a sudden, you know, I said, excuse me, doctor, I apologize. I don't know why I said that. You know, I didn't mean to offend you. No, no, you didn't offend me. How did you know I had one? Okay. Creepy. And then, creepy, 3 days in a row, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Okay. Then I'll give you all the details, but basically she died when she was 10 years old. She was brought in dead, clinically dead, to the hospital. She floated out of her body. She described the doctor, the nurse, what they looked like, exactly what they were doing. She flew through two walls, was floating on top of her parents. And then in her doctor's office with my daughter, right next door to me, she stopped her practice for 15 minutes because it took her 15 minutes to tell me verbatim the conversation of her parents. Now, she was right above them floating. And there was a lady with a red shirt, with a little ball. A little kid playing a ball was throwing it at your dad, and dad, you were upset because you were told the lady, control that kid, you know? And they were like, you know, how do you know all this shit? First of all, you were dead. Secondly, you were like two rooms, you know, on the other side. And then later on, 15 minutes later, after she tells him the story, after she gets resuscitated, in comes the doctor and the nurse, exactly as she describes. That was a Friday. The next day, Saturday, at our church, we had a church dinner. Okay? My wife sat next to this lady from Mexico who she knew, and I knew before I had seen her at church. I had never seen the husband before, and so he's Cuban just like me. So then, total stranger, again out of my mouth, excuse me, sir, have you ever heard of near-death experiences? I've just finished reading a product. It was like a tape recorder, you know? And in my head was like, why the fuck are you doing this shit? It was like, my God, what's going on, you know? All of a sudden, his eyeballs pop out, you know? And I said, excuse me, man, I apologize, man. I don't know why I said that, you know? Right? He goes, no, man. How do you know that happened to my mother last year? And I was right in the middle of all of this. His mother died in his arms last year in his living room. He was by himself. She even described the paramedics. She said it was a 6'3" black guy, 300 pounds, looked like a football player, comes crashing through the door, followed by a short white woman with blonde hair and a ponytail, okay, dressed in like a paramedic's outfit, okay. She described it to the T. Then you were giving me mouth and that, okay. And then she got sucked when she was put into the...
Just give us a sec, Ray. Sorry, mate. Sorry, Brian, just interrupted. We'll get back to that, Ray. Sorry, mate.
Okay. Anyway, she saw herself in the ambulance. Before the ambulance took off, she said she got sucked up by a vacuum cleaner. She went to a tunnel, flying through the tunnel. Okay. She saw a little light, like a bigger. The closer she got to the light, she felt tremendous love. Pete, all this stuff is all near-death experiences, typical near-death experience. Okay. When she got there, it was a universe full of pure light. She met her previously deceased husband. He then presented her to an entity that she identified as God. Okay. The next day, on a Sunday, I go and visited my father, my parents, every weekend, right? So I said, at that point, I knew this was not a coincidence, okay? It's not a quote-unquote coincidence. What was he place, you know? So I said, I got to tell my father what's going on. I've only remember him being in church twice, you know? And it was like, goddamn this, goddamn that, screw this shit, you know, total atheist, that sort of thing. I always thought he was, okay? So that time he was 83 years old, bedridden, very, very sickly. He still is very, very sickly. Mom and Pop, I need to talk to both of you. Very, very important. I said, come on, Pop, we're getting out of bed. So we helped him out of bed. We fixed his PJs, that sort of thing, his pajamas, and we took him out to the patio. So in front of my mother, I started telling him what happened on Friday, what happened on Saturday, yesterday, the day before. That happened to me. I said, say what? That happened to me. I said, what? He says, remember 15 years ago when I had the open heart surgery because he had quadruple heart bypass surgery, okay? He then tells me he floated out of his body in the middle of the surgery. He saw his chest wide open, all the doctors and nurses all around him. He went into the tunnel. He got sucked up, went to the tunnel, shoo, like flying through the tunnel, saw the light, got into this universe of pure light. Waiting for him was his mother, father, and his brother, all previously deceased. They then had like an angelic embrace. He said that they weren't physical like you and I, but he knew it was them. You know, he then presented him to this entity that he described as God. And then God gave him what in the literature is called a life review. But my father didn't use that word. He said that God, he said he was, first of all, he said he was up there for at least 20 years, if not more. I said, 20 years? What are you talking about, 20 years? He said, that's how long it took God to show him all the good things he had done in his life and all the bad things. Okay? He said he saw it like a movie all around, like holographic, you know, 3D image all around him. He saw that experience not only from his brain, from his consciousness, but also the other person that he had affected. He told me, for example, when he was 12 years old, he got into a fight with this kid, and he was pounding him on the floor, you know, beating the crap out of him. He saw that experience not only from him doing it, but also the kid getting the beaten.
Getting the bait down.
Okay?
Yeah.
And he said that God would be teaching him lessons throughout each of these examples. And then he said, God kicked him out of heaven, he told me. he said that God told him a whole lot of stuff, you know, before he kicked him out. I said, well, do you remember any of it? He goes, how the hell do I remember? That shit was 15 years ago, you know. And so I turned to my mother, you know. At that point, I was like, you know, it's not that I was freaking out. Like, I knew this wasn't a coincidence, Pete. It was like 3 days in a row. I was like, you know, holy shit, you know, like, you know, trying to, you know, what the fuck is going on? And, you know, and at that point I turned to my mother. I said, Mom, you never told me this. She said, we only spoke once when we woke up after surgery. He was all agitated. I said, go back to sleep, go back to sleep. He was, shut up, let me finish. I got to tell you the story. I got to tell you the story. And so he told her the story, you know. And after that, she then said, you know, go back to sleep. You know, you just came out of major surgery, you know. It's the anesthesia, you know. It's a dream, you know. And he went back to sleep and they never discussed about it since then. That was the first time since then that they've ever spoken about that.
Crazy stuff.
So on the way home, looked up in the sky. This was night already, Sunday night. I had the experience, just a summary. For I was reading like 18 hours a day, 12 to 18 hours a day, all these books on these conscious studies. Then the first three people I ever talked to, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all had NDEs. The first two people were total strangers. The last one was my old man. So here I am driving home, right, because I went by myself to see my parents. And I looked up in the sky, and I said to both God and to these ETs, I said, congratulations, you have managed to totally convert in a four-month period an individual that was a total, you know, atheist, agnostic best, rational materialist, and to someone that has more faith in God, the spirit world, and life after death than any Catholic priest in Miami. So I salute you. Okay? And because that's when I had my epiphany, Pete. Like, holy fucking shit. You know? That's when Ray Hernandez got totally transformed. Okay? After that, that's when all of my paranormal experiences started. All my crazy shit. You know, one after another, you know, tons of stuff. And Free got started with a lot of this crazy stuff. Let me just give you a couple examples how Free was started. Okay. Jump start now to May of 2013, a little bit over a year ago. So very recently, I was in the middle of a traffic jam. I go work a day a week because I work at home in downtown Miami. Total traffic jam. You can move the car bumper to bumper. All of a sudden, I got what an ET telegram is. A voice came into my head that said, I need to do a project that needs to be conveyed to everyone in the world. It has to deal, and I'll try to summarize it, okay? It was very, very detailed, but the summary basically was, I need to convey the relationship between ETs, the spirit world, and quantum physics. You can't do it for money. You have to get people of pure purity, okay, in this group effort, okay? And you can't be doing it for money, okay? So that was basically the gist of it. You know, it was a lot more detail, but that was the summary of it. And then at the same time, I got a video that was in it. And the same vision, I don't know if you heard of this lady named Audrey Hewins. She's one of the co-founders of Starborn Support.
Yeah.
It's a major ET support organization here in the U.S. And I just finished giving a talk at their conference, Experience Your Speak Conference. So when I told her that story, she says, oh, my God, Ray, I had the same vision, the same video. She pulled out a book and she described it, and she even showed me a picture of it. I said, that's it, you know? And she says, oh my God, I thought I was the only one that had ever had this. Okay, and what it was, and I'll describe it to you. That show The Price is Right. Well, they have that pretty lady that picks out the letters and stuff like that, you know, and this thing spins around. The circle
spins
around. Oh,
Wheel of Fortune, I think we call it.
Wheel of Fortune, yeah. Okay. And what happened was I saw this thing spinning around like the Wheel of Fortune. I was in the middle of this, like, you know, an experiencer or contactees, whatever you might want to call it, you know, in the middle. And I was with other people of similar kind. And all these wheel was spinning around me, and inside each slot was a paranormal phenomenon, out-of-body experiences, mystical travel, remote viewing, telepathy, the spirit world, life after death, you know, the ET phenomenon, on and on and on. All these paranormal topics were like floating around, okay? And then what was holding everything together was quantum physics. Okay, that's what I was seeing in my head. Okay, and immediately I got on the phone. You know Christina, right? Christina knows. Have you been in any
conversation with her? I know of her.
Okay. So anyway, she was the only person I had been in communication with. No one else, because my wife, I can't talk to her because, you know, they're angels and that's it. You know, shut up, they're angels. You know, and so Christina. She had sent an email, I forgot to what organization it was. And so she called me like about 3 months before, you know, she sent me an email. And so we've had maybe like five conversations beforehand. So anyway, 8:30 in the morning, I give her a call, okay? I said, Christina, you awake? She goes, yeah. She says, you won't fucking believe it, what just happened, you know? And I tell her, you know? And she says, Ray, don't freak out, man. You know, if you need to pull over, do it. You know, I said, I can't even fucking pull over. It's in the middle of a traffic jam here, you know. And then she said, well, I've had this before, you know. It's not very, very common, you know, but I've had it before. Just don't. And I said, I'm not freaking out. You know, it's just like, holy shit, I needed someone to talk to explain it. That same night, and Mary could attest to, I don't know if Mary ever told you the story, okay. I get an email from Mary. Dear Ray, I'm sorry that I'm responding 6 months late to this email that you sent me. Okay? And have you heard that story before? She never told you that?
Nah. I know that she gets a lot of emails, so I'm just laughing at that.
Okay, so about a month and a half ago, I asked Mary. We talked about it before, but I want to remind her again. And I asked Mary, I said, do you usually go back 5 or 6 months to check your emails? She says, Ray, I can barely keep up with one day's emails. She said, how in the hell am I going to go back 5 to 6 months to check my emails, you know? And I said, well, Mary, how could you explain it, you know? She started laughing. And she said, Ray, you know perfectly well how that happened.
Yeah, you know? A lot of people don't know about Mary. It's sort of like with my – I had an experience, which is my first regression. I'm about to put a second one up too, where the entities came through, but
the first one was excellent.
Yeah, no, it was pretty trippy. And this one is too. It was done by Lee Kerr this time, who's part of what you guys are doing as well. Yeah. But it was weird because I know Mary well. I know how much stuff she's got in terms of just files sent to her and everything. And within like 20, 30 seconds of when I was telling Mary about, all I heard was this. The only way I could.
Pete, you're breaking up. Pete, you're breaking up.
Breaking up, am I? Can you hear me now? Okay, we're back again. We just had connection problems then. I was just saying, right, it was funny because out of all the files Mary had after an incident I had, I told her about this sound and she goes, does it sound like this, Pete? Oh, it's just stopped again, does it?
Peter, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Because I can't hear you.
You can't hear me. All right. I'll just stop it again. All right, there we go. Can you see me again?
Okay, all right, we got it. Yes.
Yeah, I was just saying about an incident with Mary, how I told her about this sound and she pulled a file out. Similar to you, how she just went back for no reason that many months. Again, it's happening. All right.
Want to go off on again?
Yeah, I'll try. Wait, there we go. Can you hear me now?
Okay, no, there we go. Okay, gotcha.
Yep. Well, I might not bring her up because it will probably go to crap again if I do.
It's Mary's fault.
It's Mary's fault. Right, we'll leave it there. So what happened from there, Ray, with that incident with Mary going back months, and like she said, you know damn well what's going on. Where did things go from there, mate?
Okay. So anyway, Mary responds to an email that I had sent her like 5 or 6 months beforehand. And then she goes, oh, wow, Ray, I've just read your story about you and your daughter and your other friends seeing that huge craft. I've never heard of that story of being people so up close for such a long time with the craft, you know? And so at that point, I never mentioned about the NDEs and what happened with these three people, you know, my father being the last one. All she knew was about the craft and what happened inside our house. And so then I emailed Mary back and I said, Mary, you haven't heard the latest. This is what happened today, you know? And I told her about my ET telegram in the video. Are you still there, Pete?
Yeah, yep.
Okay. And so then she then responds back. She says, Ray, we need to do a Skype. I need to talk to you. And so for the first time I ever did Skype was with Mary. She showed me how to use it. And so I had a Skype call with her. And then she told me in that call that she was a very dear friend with a retired astrophysicist from Harvard, Dr. Rudy Shields. She had gone up, I believe it was to Rhode Island, to give a talk before the John Mack Institute. And Dr. Rudy Shields was a member of the Institute. So that was just in passing because I had told her about quantum physics, that, you know, it dealt my download with some quantum physics stuff. But I told her I know nothing about quantum physics except the materials I read in the consciousness studies literature, which was, you know, quite minimal. So the next day at 9:30, I got a phone call, and it was Dr. Rudy Shields. He called me at 9:30 in the morning. And I was like, holy shit, here's this, you know, retired professor from Harvard giving me a call. And at that point, he was spoon-feeding me quantum physics for 90 minutes and telling me that my download and my video were actually correct, that quantum physics can explain all of the paranormal phenomenon, that he actually gave it was going to write a presentation on that in a couple of months. And I was like, holy shit, you know, another, you know, craziness is going on here. Then he said, Ray, you need to form an organization. And if you do form an organization, I said, recommend that I will be your scientific advisor. And I was like, I didn't even think about forming an organization. Here's this guy from Harvard telling me I needed to form an organization. And so, you still there, Pete?
Yeah, mate. Yep, still here.
Yeah. And then he then says, look, I'm a dear friend of Dr. Edgar Mitchell. He's actually my mentor. And I already knew who Edgar Mitchell was because he's the father of modern consciousness studies, okay? Not only was he the sixth man on the moon, he has a PhD in physics from MIT. He's one of the early adherents of the quantum hologram theory of physics. And he pretty much started all of the scientific experiments on telepathy and what is consciousness. You know, the guy's a genius among geniuses. And Rudy called him his mentor, you know, so like, wow. Then he says, here's his telephone number, Ray, give him a call. You know, I'm going to give him a call now, you know, and send him an email. And for 4 or 5 hours, I didn't want to call because I was like, holy shit, it's like you're talking to a demigod or something like that, you know? So finally, late in the afternoon, I give him a call. He goes, I've been expecting your phone call, you know? And I'm like, holy shit, expecting my phone call, you know? And at that point, he said, I just finished speaking with Rudy. He had sent me an email early in the morning. And he says, you're someone that I need to listen to, he told me. I need to carefully listen to what you've got to tell me. And so I told him a little bit about what happened. And then he invited me to his house the next day. And I said, holy shit, you know. So the next day I go to his house. He's only a 90-minute drive. And there he starts telling me about how he grew up in Roswell, New Mexico. He went to Roswell High School, how he took flying lessons when he was like 13 or 14 years old. Instead of being paid at the airport, he was paid by flying lessons. And how after he came back from the moon, he went back to Roswell. He was like the town celebrity. How all these old timers came out of the woodworks and started confiding in him information that they never told anybody. Okay. And at that point, he learned for the first time about, you know, Roswell. And he had all these intimate stories from so many people that he knew and the stories that the parents had told the kids that were now his age, you know. And so he was just going on and on and on about he was with the Chuck Yeager group learning to fly the first jets, how He was applied to become an astronaut. He was accepted. They were the ones that sent him to MIT, and there he learned aeronautical physics. He was part of the team that helped design the lunar module. I mean, on and on and on. I was like being blown away, you know. Finally, at the end, he says, "Ray, I, together with Rudy, highly recommend that you form an organization, and that Rudy and I will be your scientific consultants." All right. So at that point, I was like, "Holy shit! What the hell just happened?" You know. So I sent an email to Mary. I sent an email to Christina. And I said, "The three of us need to Skype." Now that I learned to Skype from Mary, I learned how to do that, right? So that we got on Skype, the three of us, and I told them what hell just happened, you know? And I said, "We need to form an organization." And I said, "Are you down, Mary?" Mary said, "Of course, Ray, I'm down for it, you know?" Christina, "Yes, I'm down, you know?" So then we had Free Formed, you know, with Mary, Christina as the co-founders, and Edgar Mitchell and Rudy Shields as the two initial advisory board members. And within, I would say, a two-week period, we had like a who's who in the ET contact field, ufology field, you name it, super famous people that we've got on our board. For example, Dr. Leo Sprinkle. He was the first academic to actually research the experiencer, the ET experiencer phenomenon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Giles knew him because he went up to, on his way to see Leo. That's when he had that trip in the automobile. Remember that, that he's told you several times. He was it was on his way to see Leo. We've got Dr. John Klimo, who's the world's leading academic on the paranormal. Professor for 40 years, has chaired over 250 PhD dissertations. 75 have been on the paranormal. I didn't know he was a lifetime experiencer. Okay? I'll tell you about John a little bit later on. We've got Barbara Lamb, who's been working in this field just like Mary for 40 years. She's worked with over 5,000 experiencers. We've got Kathleen Martin, who's one of the top, quote-unquote, ufologists in the field for many, many years. He has two books with Stan Friedman. Denise Stoner, who co-wrote a book with her, Alien Abduction Files. You know, Giles, as you know. Reverend Michael Carter, who you interviewed. Ralph Steiner. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I don't want to omit names. But basically, it's like a who's who, you know, in this field. Whitley Strieber. All of these people, they reached out to me in one way or another. I didn't reach out to them, okay? The vast majority of them, which is the crazy story of it. Let me tell you a little story about John Klima, okay? When I had my experiences, I would say like maybe 3 or 4 months, right before I had seen that huge craft, I began to do an academic literature review of the ET contact phenomenon. Okay, what do we know about people like me, like you, the experiencer, okay, academically? Because remember, I was trained as an academic. That was my background. I had worked as a research assistant even after I could not finish my dissertation. I was a university professor, even though I didn't have my PhD. You know, I still taught at universities. So that was my mindset, you know. Mm-hmm. And so what I found out, that there was almost nothing there academically. Okay, there were tons of experiencer books, you know, like the books of that you and I are both familiar with. But in terms of academic books, they were all written by Leo Sprinkle. There was Dr. John Mack's two books. Mm-hmm. And even then, they were quite limited because his last book was limited to 45 experiencers. Mm. There were Kenneth Bullard. You know, I could go on and on, but it was very, very limited, the type of books and articles that were written. So what popped into my head was that was needed was a major, long-term, academic, scientifically rigorous research study on the experiencer phenomenon, okay, the ET contact phenomenon, not the little balls in the sky, the little lights in the sky type of crap stuff, you know, but the interaction that these ETs are having with humans, okay. So what happened was, in my head, I thought out a methodology of how to do this. And again, I was guided. I was guided to Dr. Klimo. I've even forgot how I was guided. All I know is that I went to his website. I sent him an email. "I need to talk to you, brother." You know? And here's a little bit about my story. He responded back. And after we got to know each other a little bit, I said, "John, I have an offer you can't, you know, on the line of the father, you know? I've got an offer you can't refuse." And I told him, I said, "I want you to be the chair of the first ever major comprehensive academic research study of the ET experiencer phenomenon. And I told them, we've got Mary Rodwell, we've got Barbara Lamb, we've got Whitney Strieber, we've got Kathleen Martin, we got Denise Stoner, we've got Ralph Steiner, we got Linda Moulton Howe, we've got, you know, Dr. Leo Sprinkle, on and on and on and on. And he was like, you know, he says, where do I sign up, Ray? He said, I was born for this, you know? He then told me he's a lifetime experiencer since he was a young child. I won't go into some of those details because they were personal in nature, but he's a lifelong contactee. And so he then became the chair of our research project. Now, let me sort of transition a little bit into free. There's tons of crazy experiences that we could talk about. Some of them, you know, I might have told you, you know, many, many months ago. But let me tell you a little bit about free. Free, as you know, is an organization that was founded by experiencers, not only for experiencers, but for experiencers and for the public at large to be educated about this phenomenon. We have three major pillars. One pillar is education, and the education component is our website. What we're trying to do is to introduce the whole topic of the paranormal into the ET contact phenomenon. As you know, in the States, most of the literature is associating ET contact with abduction. Mm-hmm. And as you know, and as Mary knows, abduction is just a very, very small sliver of the contact phenomenon with non-human intelligent beings. Okay? And even abduction is not really clearly understood. It's much, much more complicated than what is portrayed in videos and books and things of that sort. Okay? And the philosophy that I had, Mary has, and the vast majority of the members of our advisory board is that near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, mystical travel, all these mechanisms, remote viewing, all of them have described interaction with what? With non-human intelligent entities. Okay? Courtney Brown, a very famous remote viewer, has written several books about how he has, in remote viewing, has interactions with different types of ETs. People with out-of-body experiences have talked about interaction with different types of ETs. The mystical travelers, all the way from the ancient, you know, Hindu text, you know, have talked about when they've done their out-of-body mystical meditations, have had interactions with non-human intelligent beings. Okay, people that do mystical meditation now, and there's several people in our group, initially had their first initial contacts in the matrix when they would go out of body and go into this matrix reality. These different types of spiritual entities would begin associating with them. Over time, the more UFO ET related, you know, entities would then begin interacting with their consciousness. Mm-hmm. You know, the grays, the Palladian types, you know, all the different types of that we see in the ET contact field. Then a lot of these individuals speak about, then they started appearing physically, okay, on Earth, in bed, you know, and then it was like a full circle, you know. They had out of body, then from out of body later on, they went into the matrix. In the matrix, they started interacting with these spiritual, quote unquote, type of entities. Then other UFO type of entities, related type of entities that we're familiar with, you know, started interacting with them in the matrix. And then they started interacting with them here on in their 3D reality here. So who are we to say to exclude all of these other interactions with non-human intelligent entities, that these are not ETs, okay? People have had near-death experiences. They describe that experience as being more real than you and I talking right now, okay? So who are we to judge that that's not valid, okay? And plus my own personal experiences that I've already told you about, I know that there's that relationship between, you know, the quote-unquote spirit world, you know, the multi-universe reality and the ETs. Mm-hmm. You know, don't me to explain. I have my own theory, which exactly matches up with Dr. Rudy Shields and Edgar Mitchell's. Okay, but I won't go into it because it's a little bit trippy and convoluted here and complicated. But anyway, jumping on. So our website is focusing all of these paranormal components into the traditional ET contact literature. Then we're throwing in a kicker. We're throwing in physics. Okay. And not only just quantum physics, specifically the quantum hologram theory of physics, which all of the five physicists associated with Free are believers, firm believers. Okay. A derivative of the quantum hologram theory of physics is this topic called consciousness. Okay. I won't get into that because that's a whole lengthy and trippy conversation. But basically, in a nutshell, consciousness is a way to describe through science the soul, okay, and our multidimensional reality and how each of the different entities within all of these multidimensional realities are able to interact with each other. Mm-hmm. And also describes the soul, you know, what is a soul, okay, the spirit world, whatever, okay. So in a nutshell, I know Rudy and Edgar and the other physicists are not going to laugh, but like in a two-sentence short phrase, that is consciousness, which is a derivative of the quantum hologram theory. So what we're doing is we're getting these two concepts and putting it inside Free so people can be educated that, look, it's not just pure metaphysics stuff, okay? That metaphysics is actually grounded in real physics, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. And that all of this is explainable. So that is our website. So that's the educational component. We're also going to be having educational videos, like roundtable type of setting discussions where we put like three or four people, record all of them with high definition recording instruments and let them go at it. You know, hybrids, are they real? Are they not? You know, abduction, is it like what people think it is, or is it something totally much more complicated? Mm. You know, quantum physics, you know, there's numerous topics we could talk about, so we want to record all these sessions and put it in our Free site.
Yep.
Excuse me, on our YouTube site as educational component. Then another component we have is support. Okay, we have education, and then we have support. For support, we are having experience forum, which is a way for experiencers to communicate with each other and interact with each other. And as you know, one of the friends and a problem that I had is, you know, who do you talk to? You know, I was silent for 9 months. I had no one to talk to, you know. So that's a way for people that are having these experiences, traumatic or non-traumatic or in the middle, whatever, to talk with each other, to share stories, share experiences, share emails, share telephone numbers, you know, that sort of thing. So we've got that forum, which you just started. And I encourage everyone to go to our website, experiencer.co, and participating in the forum and to get it launched off the ground. Then we also have something called an experiencer buddy, which is what you are and Giles and other people I volunteered to be, which is basically, if you want to talk to somebody, here's a volunteer.
Yeah.
Someone who's been there, who's done that, who's grounded. You know, it's not all traumatized or, you know, spacey, that sort of thing, but someone can, you know, mainly listen to you, you know, and to talk to. So we've got experiencer buddies. We also have a list under our support category in our website of almost 30 pages of individuals that are either licensed mental health therapists, regression therapists, or support groups all throughout the world. In Australia, we have a very long list of folks in Australia that they could contact. And we've got Leah's group, you know, Sarita's mentioned there together with Mr. Harrison. And I think you're going to have to switch to that group.
Yeah.
And of course, Mary and so many other individuals. Now, these are all individuals that have been vetted out, that have worked with experiencers. Not just any, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry here, you know, but someone that has with experiencers in the past. And we're trying to build up this this list. It's already almost 30 pages, Pete. You know, so if you live in a certain state or a certain country, you would look at list, say, you know, I need to see a mental health person because I think I'm fucking going crazy. You know, regression therapist, I had regression, it's not working. You know, I think I'm nuts. You know, so you go to someone to talk to, a support group, whatever. You go to that list. So that's what we're doing in terms of a support. Then another major component, a third component, is research. And I already told you a little bit about our research project. We've got, as you know, a who's who backing up Dr. Klimo and Dr. Leo Sprinkle. They're our two academics. So we've got this whole team underneath them who basically for 30, 40 years have been working out in the field, you know, getting their feet wet, you know. I mean, what people know more about this than Mary Rodwell or Barbara Lamb or Whitley Strieber, you know? Nobody. Okay, they're like the cream of the crop. And then when you add all these other people in our team, and we already developed an initial quantitative, you know, yes or no survey that's in our website. a category to an experience. Do you want to take a brief survey? And it'll take you 5 minutes. And that's basically for you to self-identify yourself, whether you're a possible experiencer or not. Yeah. And then if you check a box that you want to follow up in a research project, then we would be training interviewers, and you're going to be one of them, okay, to follow up with these individuals to do a whole series of interviews with them over several days or weeks or months, whatever it might take, you know, very slowly, very meticulously, so you can really get all the facts and all the information of this experiencer. And we'll show you where to put down the information, how to write it down, that sort of thing. And each individual will start with one case, you know, so you'll have one case. Might be your partner, might be Leah, you know, that type of thing. If they took that. And so that's our research project. And then it's going to be the first ever comprehensive study about an experiencer. You know, we've got these secondary questionnaires. We've got like maybe 20 different secondary questionnaires, which, are, for example, people that have gotten downloads of quantum physics and science, right? What questions would you ask those people? Okay, so we've got a whole lot of open-ended questions, and we've got like from 1 to 5, you know, how do you feel about this? You know, that type of questions. And then we're also going to be doing something called special query word analysis, special query analysis, where certain words pop out, the computer will grab those words so that we can quantify those words. Okay, and so it's very, very sophisticated. We've got volunteers that are statisticians, you know, database experts that know how to do all of that, helping us, you know. So it's a whole team, and we're all volunteers here. No one's is getting paid for that, you know. So just to summarize, we've got education, we've got support, and we've got research. And each of these projects in and of itself, except maybe for support, because Starborn Support, they do tons of support with other groups. But in terms of the research and the education, no one's doing what we're doing. Mm. Because we're taking a very innovative approach how to do that, like as you know, with the paranormal and then the quantum physics, and we've got the physics. You know, it's not like we got an imaginary person who's had 1 year of physics. We've got working with us. So basically, that's free in a nutshell, and.
I'm just losing you at the moment. It's just the, now, can you say something to see if I get your audio through again?
Yeah. Testing, Peter. Testing.
Testing. Oh, yep. No, I got you back now. It was just those last 10 seconds that just cut out again.
Okay. What it is, they don't want me to talk about this other sensitive project that we're working on. I think I might have spoken you off the air many, many months ago. A project that we're working with our physicists. Now, if you talk about real freaky shit, freaky, that maybe I've told you sound like kindergarten stuff. Okay, all the freaky stuff Mary knows about. Mm. Mary's been a participant in one of these things where it deals with some of these physicists, and it deals with like open channeling. Let me just give you a brief example. We had a Skype call where I was the only one that was able to see two different people. I was able to see Mary and Giles, and then I was able to see another lady, right? On the call was Dr. John Klimo, who's the world's leading expert on channeling, okay? He wrote the definitive book on channeling. It was translated 18 languages, and it's you know, channeling about different experiences, okay? This is an academic book on channeling that is translating. So,
it's cutting in and out again pretty bad. Here we go. No, it was coming clear again. Sorry, mate.
Okay. Yeah. And so, anyway, we were on a phone call, Pete, where we had three ladies. I won't mention the names, okay? All very well-known ladies, okay, that started channeling an entity. They were finishing the sentences of each other. That went on for 15 minutes, Pete. Okay? And what it was this entity was giving me a message. Okay? And the message was for me to relay it to one of to another individual. It all dealt with past lives and the mission here on Earth. and to don't confuse the prior mission that you had with your current mission. Okay, I need more things because it deals with some sensitive stuff. Okay, but after that, Pete, I got drunk for 3 days. Straight. First time I've ever done that. I mean, I could see a fucking huge UFO ship. I could spit on it. You know, I could deal with that crap. I got an energy being inside my house controlling my mind and all of this and tons of other shit that I haven't told you. But this particular thing really got to me. Because when I went to that person and I told them what I was told to tell them, without blinking an eye, this person confirmed everything. They probably told you this. They told you that. They told you that. They told you that. And I was like freaking out. I said, this person wasn't even on the phone call, you know, listening to all this, and he knew everything that was going on. And he says, Ray, I know that, all of that. Tell the ladies, the three ladies, thank you very much. But I was told my all of my missions and all of my prior lives, including my current life, when I was 18 years old. This person basically locked himself up in a room for 18 hours a day, meditating. 18 hours a day for 2 years straight.
That sounds like what I went through for a bit.
Okay? This person was in the Himalayas or some shit like that.
I'm just getting blasted as you're saying all this anyway, yeah.
Okay. 2 years straight, Pete, 18 hours a day, locked up in his room, doing straight meditation. The whole time he was in the Matrix. His reality was in the Matrix, you know, interacting with all these ETs, okay? Most of the time here on Earth, that person is still in that reality, okay, in that Matrix reality. He just comes down to do the work that this person needs to do, physical work, you know, which is a very influential job, very influential job, okay? Anyway, so at that point, here's this guy confirming everything, knew exactly what they were told, you know, what I was told, well, the instructions I was given. At that point, I just freaked out, you know? Because now we're not just seeing a craft. Now we're dealing with past lives. We're dealing with three ladies. We're dealing with Dr. John Klima, who's the world's leading expert on channeling in the middle of all of this shit. He wasn't channeling. He was just observing all this shit. Later when I called John, I said, John, that shit must have freaked the shit out of you like it freaked me out. You know? And he started laughing. He says, Ray, look, I wrote the fucking book on it. You know, it didn't freak me out. But I've never seen it live. Right in front of me with three ladies for such a long time. Yeah. And it was such so profound. You know what? And then I told him what had happened afterwards with this other person. He goes, no, I was like the whole full skull up. You know, I've never seen anything like that. That's just some weird shit, he told me, you know? And so at that point, I was getting drunk now for 4 days straight, right? And at that point, I interacted with this man that I hadn't seen in a year. Okay, it was the my wife calls this cleaning lady once in a blue moon. She hadn't called this lady like in a year. Okay, the year before, my daughter had told the cleaning lady, says, "Oh, you know, my dad and I saw a big gigantic UFO right outside the house." Right, so the cleaning lady tells the husband. Right, so he comes to pick her up. He says, "Oh, I saw something similar to when I was young. I saw a UFO when I was young." So a brief conversation was.
That last 10 seconds cut out again.
Yeah. So anyway, where did it cut out, Pete?
The last 15 seconds cut out.
Where did it cut out?
Something about the bloke who's arrived at the house.
Okay, yeah. So then a year before he arrived at my house, and he had my daughter had told his wife that we had seen a UFO. And so the wife told him, and then he says, oh, I saw a UFO when I was young, you know. So we had like a very brief 2 or 3 minute, you know, discussion about it, you know. It never went anywhere, you know. A year later, my wife calls this lady again. This is a year later, Pete, okay. The husband cut pick, you know, with a 5 o'clock when finished cleaning up the house. This guy asked me, oh, have you seen any UFOs lately? You know, and I was like laughing, you know, like, you know, and I told him, you won't fucking believe it. This is all in Spanish, right? And he goes, yeah, try me, you know. And I was like blowing the guy off because I didn't want to deal with this shit, you know. This guy's coming to pick up his wife. He's going to leave. I don't want to get into this stuff, you know. And I said, it deals with quantum physics. He goes, oh, I had an interaction with ETs in quantum physics. And I was like, what? You know, so I said, man, I talked, you know. So we up, go to the house the very next day. I invited two members of our advisory board, who are both speakers, okay, to come by. This guy, I called him up, said, look, can I invite my friend? You know? And says, sure, fine. So we all meet there at his house at 10 o'clock in the morning. And these are two members of Freeze Advisory Board, you know, were there. And so finally, so then he tells me the story, just like this other friend that I was telling you about. When he was 13, he learned how to meditate, just like my friend. My friend learned when he was about 12. Okay. The first time he went out of body, it was a group of teenagers. He was the youngest kid. The oldest was 19. He then, when he returned from out of body, he told the 19-year-old, he says, I've been to your house. She goes, get the fuck out of here. You know, this is what your house looks like. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. And she was like, he goes, on top of that, you got a woman with long hair that's sleeping in your bed. He says, that's where you screwed up. Because the only woman in my house is my mother. She's got gray hair. She's almost like 60 years old. Everything was perfect. There you screwed up. When she got home at 12 o'clock at midnight, she gave him a call. She says, I don't believe it. My sister had a fight with her husband from the town door.
Is this cut out again? But we got to that. Oh, there we are. You're cutting back in again. That's good. Good, yeah. Now, that's trippy, isn't it?
You know, and that's nothing. That's nothing, okay? Then the next time she started to meditate, he went out of body maybe two or three times. That's it. After that, into the matrix. Okay. The matrix started interacting with the spiritual type. Then the other entities came on board, mainly the Palladian types.
Yeah.
Okay. Several months later, the Palladians came into him in his bed.
Yeah.
Okay. They would bring him into some other type of reality. He said it wasn't a spaceship. Sometimes it's a spaceship, but most of the time it wasn't a spaceship. It was this other type of reality, and where he would receive tons of training and instructions. Mm-hmm. He would wake up like,
is this cutting out again? And you froze. What? There okay. We go. I've got you back again. Can you hear me? All right, now I can't hear you. I'll just stop this. I'll just call you back. Just had a cutout there quickly. So you were talking about the bloke getting this information from the Pleiadians. Do you want to just wrap that up? And
Yeah. Basically, what he had told me was that they then were teaching him for like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. He mentioned to me that he would get little kittens and put them to sleep. He would touch them. And with his hands, with his energy, would put them to sleep. He would wake them up. In back of the class, remember, there was a 13-year-old kid. You know, he would sit behind a kid, put his head right behind, you know, his neck. All of a sudden, the kid's head would be like almost on fire, you know. Mm-hmm. So he had all this energy in him, and he was taught all these things. So, but what had happened was his mother had been institutionalized as a nut, as a crazy person. His father then turned into an alcoholic, okay? He never told me that his mother was an experiencer. You know, he never went to that point. I don't even know whether he knew who his mother was, but I highly suspect it was. Mm. So here he was. His father was a raging alcoholic. His mother menopause 2 years. So he basically told other lady friends, he said, look, you know, I don't want to be like my mom. I want to be a normal kid, you know. 19 years old, it was a year and a half later. I just want to lead a normal life. You know, I don't want nothing to do with you. I want you to go away. Don't come, you know? Mm-hmm. And they never did. Okay. And what happened to all those physics writings that you had? He says, I burnt all that stuff and drawings of crafts and apparatuses and all of that crap. He says, because I didn't want any recollections whatsoever with my mother or with these ETs. I want to lead a normal life. Mm-hmm. So when that person told me that stuff, it just validated a lot of the stories that this other person that I told you about had told me. And then at that point, I stopped drinking, you know, because it wasn't like Ray's fucking going crazy, you know. It's like my ETs, sent me, put this guy in front of me
to show me that, look. That's the thing, is you're saying, and it's, you know, once you get a whiff of real reality, it takes you back because you're just like, shit. This is what's, you know...
Yeah.
This is reality. Now, this isn't dreaming.
Now, here's the thing, Pete. We all know that they can manipulate space and time. Mm-hmm. Okay? They can manipulate objects. Okay? Mm-hmm. They can bring you to the future. They can bring you backwards in time. Okay? That... You've heard that from numerous experiencers. Okay? Mm-hmm. So then I started thinking to myself, you know, did they already have this guy programmed years ago, okay, knowing that this shit was going to play out? Ray had this important mission to do whatever, but it's not things that I'm important. Not, you know, again, I don't think like an important one. I just, here's Ray getting drunk for straight. He's doing all of this. You know, got, and here he's, you know, they planned this guy to put him in front of me.
Exactly.
Because this guy just pops in like a year later, you know. I talk to this guy like once every 3 or 4 years, you know, and all of a sudden, poof, he pops in, you know, with the same story of this other fellow, you know.
Yeah. So, no, I've had you know, the same stuff, mate. I know exactly what you're going on about. So it is pre-planned. It's all happened. It's all set up. That's the way it is.
That's personal belief that just like when people tell you about that you have a mission here on Earth, that it's already been pre-planned. Okay, that you, while you were up there, you accepted your mission of what your life was going to be from the beginning to the end, you know? You hear this all the time from experiencers, right? And so I haven't told you, you know, 95% of all of the stories, we know more of them. But it's like so many things are happening. They're not coincidences, Pete, you know? How people just dropped in front of me, you know? I could go on and on and on. Giles knows about them, you know, and it's just freaky shit. I mean, we've talked for almost an hour, maybe a little bit more, and you've heard just a little snippet about it. Yeah. Now multiply that by 100, you know, then you know these things are not coincidences. You know, synchronicity is not even a word. They use that word synchronicity. To me, that's a bullshit word because this shit is not synchronicity. It's even more powerful than that.
Yeah, it's songs. You know?
To me, it's... Yeah, you know, and again, I don't have answers. I have more questions than anything, you know, and that's why with Free, the approach that most of the people are taking with Free that I tell everybody, even people like Leo Sprinkle and you know, and it's the same approach that Mary uses. I said, look, I've got two characteristics for you to be able to work with Free, okay? First of all, you have to check your ego at the door. Mm. There's no ego involved here. I don't care how many books you know this or 4 years in this field, whatever. The ego shit is at the door. Secondly, our approach at Free is that no one knows nothing. Okay? We're totally clueless to this oblivion. You might have your hypotheses, you know, what you might suspect. Okay? But that's totally different from all these people like, I've got all the answers. I know what they are. You know, they're freaking devils. You know, they're this, they're that, you know. No, no, no. The approach that we're taking at Free is that this thing is so way out. Okay? So complex that we can't even begin to think how complex this shit is, you know?
Well, that's the thing. The more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. And then you realize that even what you have learned, half of that's a bloody lie because they're giving you concepts to try and get the real picture. So it's just, it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop. Yeah. And that's the best way you can go about it is you totally wipe the slate and go, look, we don't know what the hell's going on. Let's all get together, put what we find common together.
Yeah, that's what we're doing with the research project, you know?
Exactly. And
we're interviewing. There's going to be some that's spending, you know, talking to you. Mm. Yeah. All the little sizes, all the little nook crannies and stuff like that. And documenting that somehow, you know? Mm. And doing a lot of, besides these open-ended questions like doing that today, you know, yes or no, true and false, from 1 to 5, that type of stuff. So we'll be able to quantify some of the stuff. So if you put like 1,000 peeps together, then we might be able to begin to look at some hypotheses,
build,
you know,
a picture.
Not to answer them, but at least to know what probably to question, you know?
Yeah, definitely. We'll wrap it up there. I'm sorry to the viewers just for the little hiccups we've got every now and then. We can't really help that. But Ray, thanks heaps for coming on. I want to get you back on in the future, and I'll have links up to Free. So anybody watching this, just go down the bottom of the YouTube video or go to my website where you can get the audio version or see this, and just go to the link and you'll go to experiencer.co and, you know, go to the forum there, whatever. So I'd highly recommend going to look there for resources.
It's just to repeat again, Pete, it's the Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters, Free, And our website is experiencer.co. And your buddy Mary was one of our co-founders. She's the one that gave it the name, and Christina Knowles. And we are the co-founders, but we don't operate it. The way we operate is sort of like a consensus basis with other advisory board members. Mm-hmm. We give them a call, get some feedback. You know, this is what we want to do. What do you guys think? That's been operating so far. Mm-hmm. So it's a non-controlling, non-dictatorial, you know, just trying to work as a team, putting our heads together to do the right thing, Pete.
That's it. Thank you for all that you're doing. And, such a privilege to have you on the show. And we've just got to do this again sometime. Hopefully a lot better connection on my end anyway.
Yeah. Most definitely, Pete. God bless you. I told you the first time I met you, you're going to be a very powerful person in this field. Before I met you, like you had your second radio show or some shit like that, you know. You actually had request Mary, and Mary put me in contact with you when I sent you an email, and then we chatted on Skype. This was many, many, a long time ago. You only had a few interviews up. And I said, Pete, something tells me that you are going to be very, very important in this field. Because one of the pillars can mean this whole read that everyone's totally clueless about. You're going to be making people, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands. So I would, you know, and saying,
no, thank you for what you're doing, and we just had a little bit of that cut out, but I know exactly what you're saying, and I appreciate, you know, what you're saying, and I appreciate all you do too, mate.
And I also told you about Sarita, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know it, but I knew it.
You knew about Sarita, yeah, I think everyone did. Now I'm blushing, I'm getting bloody red over that. All right, mate, all we'll right, wrap it up Pete. There, and love you, and thanks for everything, and we'll chat again soon.
Oh, okay. Right. Love to everybody.
Bye-bye, mate. Cheers.